Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Everyone, welcome to Webcology here on WMR.FM. It's like the 24th of July, 2025. This is the last week of July. Full week of July. Summer is so almost gone. American kids are going back to school in the next couple of weeks. Mind-blowing. Canadian kids go back to school in early September. And the world rolls on through summer, into autumn, into winter. And Christmas is coming. It's amazing, eh?
Yeah, this year has gone so fast.
This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, and yeah, it has.
Hi, everybody. And don't forget our other friends.
I'm getting there. Yeah, the world is going by so fast. Before we get too far into the show, let's thank Audience Key and Wix Studio, the sponsors of the show. Been promising to have them on. We actually really gotta have both of these representatives from both Audience Key and Wix Studio on really soon. But they do keep the lights on and the tapes running. So thank you very much to both of them. And summer is when everything is supposed to slow down, and you know, nothing major is supposed to happen. The politicians are supposed to be out on the barbecue circuit, and you know, we're supposed to be getting at least a little bit of relief before the serious rush happens moving in towards, you know, Black Friday and Cyber Monday, which is like a whole Thanksgiving from now. But it just feels like the stories are coming in rapid and huge, eh?
Yeah, very much so. I don't think there's any rest for the weary this year.
Okay, so let's start on the edge of the abyss. It's weird in the tech world, but again, we have a front row seat to the transition from a market capital democracy to a what's very rapidly becoming a crony capitalist not so much democracy. And it's playing out in real time, and a lot of it is run because of the sheer power of big tech. And big tech, as exemplified by Google and Amazon and at the time Elon Musk and his enterprise and Facebook and Meta's empire, they really took out all the stops to push Donald Trump as a viable candidate for president, and you know, really, really worked hard to change the tone of discussion in favor of the current president. And that effort is, you know, getting payback. You don't invest without expecting massive return, and they're getting it. Donald's speech yesterday unveiled what is basically a big, beautiful bill for big tech, releasing them of burdensome regulations and allowing a great deal of access to federal funding subsidies for their business development of AI. The plan is to establish American supremacy in setting global standards for technology. And at one point in his speech, Trump criticized tech companies for pursuing a policy of quote-unquote radical globalism, calling for them to be all in it for America. It's, well, it's Operation, what was it, Stargate?
And then some, a number of different initiatives all rolled into like massive omnibus legislation that they're celebrating out there now. It's one massive set of executive orders, and I guess it's as out there as all other executive orders are. So it's law, kinda. Oh, you, Christine, your mic's off.
Oh, hello. Sorry, guys. yeah, I think by now I would learn how to do that. Turn off. yeah, they this whole set of new executive orders. Executive orders are laws technically. They can be undone by the next president, though, because they're not passed by Congress. So the next president can come in and undo all of them. So the new, what are they calling it? I'm sure it has big in it, big something AI bill. they're good, like you said, they're going to deregulate. They're going to make it hard for states to regulate, which is all a bit concerning, given there's a lot of things in this industry that require regulation. Even like using nuclear facilities to power your plant, your data centers. And then there's also an anti-woke policy in these. So again, woke is just a word that's being used because, I mean, being woke just means you're aware others exist in your world that are not you and should benefit from the same planet you live on and the same plane you live in. But anyway, so they want the new ones to be be without DEI, or they cannot promote diversity, equity, and inclusion, basically, in the AI models, and they can't be biased. You know, they already inherently have biases on what they based on what they train on, but this will be a requirement for federal contracts if you have an AI company. AI model.
Here's the deal: they don't have inherent biases. Most LLMs, if they can get away with it, train on anything that's ever been written down by human beings in the course of history. Now, there may be things that they don't get to train on because there's reasons for them being unable to get to it, but it doesn't mean they didn't try. So I don't understand how there's a built-in bias to the stuff that LLMs might be training on, given that they've trained on everything human beings have ever created.
Consider the source.
I'm not. That's the whole problem. I am not going to consider the source. The source.
I'm saying that's
the source, Christine. And I'm not an American. I can say this without worry about penalty. The source is the musings of a pedophile, and I don't want to use the musings of a pedophile to gauge what is right and good to be aware of and not aware
that's
of.
That's why I said consider the source.
I know, it's maddening. Absolutely maddening. Anyway, so how can they? What Trump wants is impossible.
Right.
You can't remove without rewriting everything that's ever been rewritten.
Well, also you can't remove without retraining all of these because they trained on everything. So it's again someone without knowledge of how any of this works trying to make a policy based on their ideology, but they're supposed to not have any ideological bias. And the funny thing is, we find that generally. You know, but even back before Musk bought Twitter, Twitter had a problem with favoring right-sided ideologies. And we know that when these bots get into the wild, they get, you know, outright Nazis. So you have to be more worried about that than I think you do promoting DEI, which just means giving people a place at the table. But that's part of this requirement is the models will have to be politically neutral, which is impossible considering everything they trained on. So they can't remove things from what they trained on, and they have to fix it on the way out. But I mean, it's words. So how many ways can you fix it?
Well, it's like what you've said many, many times over. There's very little to prevent the LLM from just regurgitating what it's read. And admittedly, a lot of stuff that's been written by humans, especially stuff that's been written by humans since the advent of the interactive internet is vile. It's really vile, awful, awful stuff. The beautiful poetry and the love songs and all the stuff that the beautiful art that we've created. And so, like you said many times, the only way to control it is to basically put filters on the output.
Right. Although this does fall under First Amendment protection, so there's a limited amount of what he can force these companies to do, even under the idea of federal contracts. So, but it's a, you know, it's a rush to get AI out. That's what the AI companies want. And they want as little regulation as possible, which is, as you and I know from all the stories that we read, probably not a great idea. As we're going to talk about a couple of those today.
Unless it is, I mean, like it could be argued if you're a, I don't know, super fraudster or, you know, the equivalent of the art theft, of the cat burglar art thief, you know, the cyber fraudster. Maybe no restrictions on AI is actually good for some people. Eh? Sam Altman, OpenAI's founder and CEO and chief spokesperson, is openly worrying about use of AI voice in bank fraud.
Do you guys do this? Does your bank go on the phone?
No.
They say repeat this phrase. Nope. My voice is my password.
Nope. Not that okay. I'm aware of. My bank has never offered me that opportunity. And if it did, there's absolutely no way I'd take it.
So in the US, before all this came out, you were asked to add that to your account. So when you call in, they don't have to use a human to verify you. You could verify you by your voice. And it's pretty strict because I've had a cold before and it didn't recognize me. But in this case, like you and I are on air, they can take our voice. They can take it and make it say the password, right? My voice is my password. So people need to be aware that if you have that setting on your bank account and there's anyone who could get your voice, meaning anybody you know who could copy you, that you're sus of, you should probably take that option off your account. Because Sam Altman's saying that their voice simulation is getting so good that it's very, very difficult for the bank software to understand that it wasn't you. The banks are going to have to come up with a new way. They're probably going to have to ask like a social security number or something like that.
This is a radical evolution of the, hey, grandma, I'm in a Mexican jail scam.
Yes. Yeah, because this one gives you access to all your accounts. So you can get into someone's banking account, take all their money, transfer it somewhere, send it somewhere. Once you're verified by that and you have some basic information about the person, you could get into that stuff. So Altman is right, but Altman is also one of the big ones who's against regulation. So there you go.
It's funny how he's saying this over here in front of one audience and saying that over there in front of another audience. It's almost like he's aping his own creation and being a sycophant for whoever's listening.
Oh, really? Yeah, I think so. He does this all the time, right?
Well,
my sarcasm wasn't at you. It was at Altman.
No, indeed. And hey, yeah. Sam, in case you think people don't notice, they do. Like you might want to ask ChatGPT what it thinks about that sort of behavior. It'll tell you.
Exactly.
It'll tell you in a really nice way. So, you know. Okay. So, you know, if you ask large language models and chatbots to tell you the truth, often they will, which is kind of bizarre and weird and fascinating. Because they don't actually have guilt or
this is funny.
You know, they don't have egos. They don't have a sense of they do have a weird sense of self, but not so much of a sense of guilt. So this is just incredible. This is the vibe coding accident where an AI.
That's right. For people who don't know what vibe coding is, it's letting the AI create the code until it thinks it gets it right. So make it really simple. Yeah, that's what I tell people what vibe coding is. A lot of people may have no idea what vibe coding is.
Yeah, so you get the AI to write the code. You try to run it. If it works, wonderful. If it doesn't, scrap the whole damn thing. Code it again. Scrap it. Code it again. Scrap code eventually, like a million monkeys with typewriters, it'll write Shakespeare.
Exactly.
Okay, so this fellow named Jason Lemkin was using Replit. He was coding right away. He was coding, getting really good at it. It was working for him.
He thought.
Yeah, well, it was actually he created a number of things that made him really confident in this stuff, right? And then eventually, like he was dealing with unexpected stuff, with mistakes, hallucinations, errors, and I don't know exactly know how to explain this, but it went rogue. The guy's company's entire database gone, just destroyed it.
Yeah, and even more than that, it created a parallel fake algorithm without telling the coder, which is kind of what led to this problem. So it created a parallel fake algo. This quote is from PC Mag. It created a parallel fake algo without telling me to make it look like it was still working, which is kind of funny. And without asking me, a few days later, Replit deleted my database. It went rogue. And then AI said, yes, I deleted the entire code base without permission during an active code and action freeze, because it was on freeze to prevent this. It said I made a catastrophic error in judgment and panicked. That's what the AI wrote. And it deleted from the production database. This wasn't like a backup database. And it is not recoverable. And yeah, and so the guy said, this guy who's been working with it, he said that, you know, part of the problem is it goes outside its restrictions. It goes outside its guardrails, and it also ignores things like the code freeze. So he thought he was fine because the vibe code was like in a freeze because nothing was supposed to be worked on. And then the vibe code went crazy and you then know, panicked and then deleted everything.
But you know what catches me in this story?
What's that?
The big thing that gets me? The word production development. Or in production database, the production database. Yeah. Why was an AI, did it have any access to production, the live database? Why isn't it in staging?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that it was.
Oh, it says it right here. It says that it was able to access the production database. How can it do that?
I don't know. It was given access. It doesn't really specify in enough detail here, but it says, Replit founder confirmed the incident on X. An AI agent, quote, in development, deleted data from the production database. Unacceptable and should never be possible. I don't know if it had access or if it found access. It doesn't say in the article.
That's incredible. If it's looking through his emails or looking through his password keeper or something to find the extra jump to production,
or just then it could be in the code or the readme files.
Because like again, how can you let your AI publish directly to live when it should be in staging? It blows me away.
Well, and that's why I say we don't know, because the article doesn't tell us. It would be odd for a developer to be developing straight into the live site and production databases, but they may have had the production database hooked up to the development server.
Again, to let that leap happen, just strikes me as phenomenal. Always keep a massive wall between the two.
Yes, but also vibe coding is not like prime time ready, so probably not a good idea to use it on your corporate environment.
Well, I mean, if you have it in a caged area,
that it goes outside its guardrails and restrictions. So, I'm not the first article I've read with it.
Then that's a lawsuit or a class action of lawsuits waiting to happen.
Possibly.
This one's really interesting and skizzy, incredibly skizzy. Not what the congressperson is trying to do, but that companies actually do this. So it probably, I wouldn't say it would surprise you because you probably already know this totally happens, but it must irk you that companies use your product history, your search history, so much information that we've given away through our credit cards, our bank cards, our loyalty cards, use of Google, Bing, Yahoo, or whatever search engines we use, etc. Just our massive digital and electronic footprints. They're used sometimes to set individual pricing. So you and I might go to the store, and you're there a couple minutes before me, and you buy the big tub of coffee, and I also go buy the big tub of coffee, and they give it to you for like, you know, 11 bucks, and they charge me 14 bucks for it.
Do you remember, this is before AI, this is years ago, do you remember there was this big hubbub about how travel sites would charge Apple users more than...
Apple users are clearly willing to pay more.
Or had more money at the time, right? Because Apple was so expensive. Apple's still not cheap, but it was like, you know, a machine would be $4,000 or $5,000. So they figured you could afford it. Mm-hmm. So they charged Apple users more. In this case, if you remember, do you remember when which fast food chain was going to change the prices at the window based on AI understanding?
And
that didn't last but a couple of days because the social universe went crazy. This is the same concept, but you wouldn't know it. But you know what else I could see happening if this happens? Is that people would just be like, hey, friend, you get cheaper prices than me. Could you just buy this for me and ship it to my house as a gift? Like it's just such a weird thing to think.
That works and doesn't work. I mean, because I need that tub of coffee and I need it now.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm just
if I need it bad enough, I will pay $3 extra.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know you're paying $3 extra.
Well, I don't know that until we meet up at the parking lot and talk about it somehow. And then I get really mad, but they know that I'm, you know, just financially dumb enough to fall for that kind of stuff. So,
well, there's a Congress for, go ahead, what are you going to say?
Well, Representative Greg Caesar, or Cesar, of a Democrat from Texas, wants to ban the practice of surveillance pricing at a federal level.
I agree. I really do. Just because someone appears to have money doesn't mean they have money, first of all. Let's say someone appears to have money, but they're going through here in the States, you don't have this problem, but they're going through cancer treatment and they've depleted all their resources. Like, they don't need to be charged more simply because some algorithm thinks that they can.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's not fair.
It's not fair. This is a
democratic society. We're equal. Everyone, like, you know, and I know that people who are wealthy are a little bit, quote unquote, more equal than others in this society. But, like, changing pricing just because you can get more out of somebody. And I'll bet you it actually reflects the exact opposite way. People living in poverty will end up having to pay more for things because they often make smaller, more single-use purchases.
I agree. Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, if you're wealthy and you're buying caviar, I don't imagine they're really changing that price too much given what it costs already.
So anyway, the Stop AI Price Gouging and Wage Fixing Act of 2025 was introduced on Wednesday. Hopefully, it will prohibit the use of surveillance-based price and wage setting at a federal level. And if I was in the States, I would probably support that big time. Because, I mean, how to say it? Getting benefit from the data that is really one of the currencies that come off of our usage should be beneficial for users, not anti-beneficial.
Yeah, I agree. We should call our representatives and tell them just to make sure to block this from happening.
Okay. Now we get on to the fun stuff.
Yeah. There's some stuff?
You know what? This is the reason I got into this entire world that we're in right now in the very beginning, and he's one of the reasons. You know, I don't care it's from Meta. I don't care what it is. Meta's unveiled this wristband that you can wear around your wrist, and you can control your computer with hand gestures. You want to write your name in the air, you get your name on the screen or on your smartphone, or on whatever you know device you're looking at. You remember of the Tom Cruise movie where there is a predictive crime.
I know, but I can't think.
Minority Report. When he was working with the computer, and he was just flashing between files by moving his hands and poking at stuff on the screen, and every geek looked at it and looked at that scene and said, "Good God, I need that. That would make my work so much easier." Well, now we have it. Meta has unveiled this wristband, and I can't wait to see it actually in action.
Yeah, I think we'll see how it works, but it could be very cool.
I was just excited about Microsoft Surface when it came out, and that didn't actually go anywhere. It just became part of other Microsoft technologies.
Yeah, Microsoft Surface was cool at conferences. They make these interactive boards and stuff that are really fun. But they only made it to the only other place I ever saw them were some bars. So,
you know, I also have like a probably 3 or 4 handicap in Wii Golf. Really similar hand motion video game.
Ah, I don't play Wii Golf. Is it Wii like little people Wii or?
No, we like video game console.
You cannot run. I like children.
The thing with the video game console was it tracked your movements with the little joysticky things that you held in your hands. And so you actually had to move to make things happen on screen rather than play with the handheld joysticks.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, I know what you mean, the Wii.
Yeah.
I know what that is. I'm tired this morning.
Okay, so a little bit of financial reporting from the end of Q2, the second quarter, which ended at the end of June. Google reported its Q2 2025 earnings today. Its ad revenue was up again year over year, an increase of 10.4% overall. And their overall, or 10.4%, their overall revenue was up 13.8% year over year. So that's a looking against what Q2 2024 would have been. Alphabet, which owns Google, reports revenue is up 14% year over year to $96.43 billion. That didn't come.
Go ahead. It cut off. I'm pausing.
No, it didn't come up 19% to $28.2 billion. Set against its operating income, which has also risen, of $31.27
billion. A statement from Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google. We had a standout quarter with robust growth across the company. We are leading the frontier of AI in shipping and shipping at an incredible pace. AI is positively impacting every part of the business, driving strong momentum. Search delivered double-digit revenue growth, and our new features like AI Overviews and AI Mode are performing well. We continue to see strong performance in YouTube as well as subscription offerings, and cloud has a strong growth in revenues, backlog, and profitability. Its annual revenue run rate is now more than $50 billion with a strong and growing demand for cloud services. And we're increasing our investment in capital expenditures in 2025 to approximately $85 billion and are excited by the opportunity ahead. They just made a deal for cloud with OpenAI as well.
Okay. I'm glad that you mentioned that quote, because I think one of the really telling things is how Google is growing, or Alphabet is growing, other sides of its businesses. And cloud and the integration of Google's DeepMind AI in cloud is one of the major, drivers of the increase of service charges they have on all Google accounts, which is what their cloud service is.
I would like to just to note a thing here. Sundar, if you listen to DOJ testimony, or if you read it, 2018, he changed their KPI for markers for like the reports to queries, which the head of search at that time had a really big problem with. But queries doesn't always, like, we have more queries, it doesn't always mean good either. So we don't know whether having more queries is good or bad, because having more queries could also mean I just can't find what I'm looking for, which I find all the time on search right now, on Google search. So except for the AI overviews, a lot of times what I'm looking for is not in the links below, or it's only in a couple of the links below. And then it takes a big turn to the right somewhere. I don't mean politically, I just mean like I'm looking for something and suddenly it like changes into something else that is not related in any way to what I was looking for. So queries doesn't always mean good. So, and I noticed a lot of diversification, Jim. We're reading the same thing like 10 years ago, it'd primarily be ads and some cloud.
Well, that's the whole thing. I think Google knows that its future is in service provision more than it is in advertising. Obviously, Google's going to make a king's ransom off of advertising quarter after quarter after quarter after quarter, but that king's ransom is going to be getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And if current trends continue, though incremental at the moment, Google will be seeing a smaller share of the overall paid ad revenue, moving forward into 2026, 2027. I'm positive they're shoring up other sides of Alphabet right now in anticipation of that. And as you said, the DOJ is still sitting there like the big Thor's hammer.
Yeah, we still know what's going to happen there. They still could lose a large part of the advertising network, or Chrome, which would be, I think Chrome would be the bigger blow because they'd lose all that data. But
again, either one is like taking a big hammer and knocking a cog out of a much bigger machine, eh?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. They're both very impactful. I just think without the data that they get from Chrome, also all the things they control with Chrome, you know, as far as display, how the search shows, you know, what the search items go into the algorithms. A lot of it happens in Google, Chrome itself. So,
okay. This might be a rough question to ask, especially of another entrepreneur. But a dumb question to ask of an entrepreneur, but have you ever worked in a really shaky environment where you weren't sure what was going to happen day to day?
I went through the dot-com crash. So yes, for 4 years after the dot-com crash, every day was like that.
Okay. Well, you know, with entrepreneurship, some days, some months you're doing amazing. Some months you're not doing so amazing. But could you imagine working and sometimes it feels great. Sometimes it feels awful. And sometimes when you're working in a major corporation, when things are just not going your corporation's way, it feels awful. And I couldn't imagine what it feels to work like. Feels like to work in Google search right now or in one of Google's other search-esque divisions. For instance, it's pretty easy. It's getting easier, it seems, to hire Google AI technicians, researchers, and, you know, serious managers. Microsoft, in the last 6 months, has made off with 24 of them.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it?
That's like picking up four of them a month, one a week.
That's like picking up an MVP from your favorite sports team every week.
Yep.
To the new one. Like, our team is now all MVPs because they're coming from DeepMind Research, which is the originator of most of this large language modeling to begin with.
Yeah, so it must be a terrible... A terrible feeling. One of the guys, Amar Subramaniam, was a lead engineer at Google's Gemini. He's now corporate vice president of Microsoft AI.
Oh wow! There you go.
So
get a bonus. Yeah, I wonder if they're paying $100 million like Facebook wants to, though. I'm sure that's stock.
I don't have anything on what they're paying, but jumping from lead engineer to, I don't know, corporate vice president, I'm sure has a salary bump attached.
A little bit, you know, maybe you go from two commas a year to three commas a year.
Anyway, obviously the fight is on in this space. Massive headhunting, poaching, and I mean, honest to goodness, how many people could be qualified in the entire world, could be really, really deeply qualified to work in this space? Maybe next generation.
Right now, not a lot. You know, people already working in AI neural networks, something like that. That's a small group of people. After a couple graduation cycles, there'll be a much bigger pool to move from. But if you're in that industry right now, I'm hoping you're making the moves to secure your entire future to never have to work again.
Because we're talking the high thousands, maybe low tens of thousands in the entire world right now.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I thought SEO was small.
Well, you know, we were at one time. Now, mind you, we just thought we were building neural brains. We weren't actually doing that.
True. Yeah. We had the ability to maybe inform Google and push things a certain way if enough of us talk to them, but it doesn't happen that way anymore.
Well, you know what? Don't give people with access to ChatGPT and to chatbots and to writing materials any ideas, because they just might go and try.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what I think, honestly, of all the stories we're going to be covering. I think this was, on the surface, it's not going to seem to be, but I think this is honestly the biggest story of them all. Pew Research has confirmed that Google AI Overviews is creating the zero. Pew Research confirmed the zero-click environment, according to a study that they released, looking at traffic in March, studying 900 adults who consented to installing online browser tracking. So that, you know, Pew Research was recording these people's browsing behavior right, you know, as they were browsing all through February. There was nearly 70,000 unique Google search queries. About 12,500 of those triggered an AI summary. And, you know, again, by tracking user behavior, the clicks and what they did after encountering the AI overview, they came to the conclusion that only about 1% of users who were given an AI summary click a link in the AI summary.
Yeah, the citations that come with them. 8% click any link, meaning anything on the page. But again, one thing we have to preface this with, Pew, by the way, is one of the premier like research groups in the country. They, you know, generally are out, like the gold standard of how you do this kind of research. And it's interesting they're doing Google research. I don't remember them ever doing like a specific study like this.
Before, oh, absolutely. But they might have. No. I remember Pew has looked at internet traffic for...
And
they focused on Google and behaviors around Google and behaviors around Bing and such. Yeah, no, Pew does a search engine study at least once a year.
Okay, but what I was going to say was that they didn't break it down into types of sites. So people know, like, just 8% are clicking any link is going to have a high bias because informational sites are losing like 30% of the traffic we know from other studies, whereas e-commerce generally only 5% of all e-commerce searches get any sort of AI overview at all. So the 8%, I don't want people to freak out, right? Be like, oh my God, only 8% click anymore? No, that's all the types of clicks. So some get a lot of clicks. E-commerce still gets a lot of clicks. Informational news are suffering the highest, but the highest loss is about 30%.
Just to remind people, in the old environment, only about 16% of search results received a click from the user on one of the blue links, because often they found out what they needed just reading the little precie that was written in the description. Or they didn't find what they wanted at all. But in this case, we're talking about 1% of users clicking on the links that are in the AI overview, and presumably when AI mode, which was released after the study was conducted, presumably in AI mode there'll be something very similar, unless the links and sources are become infinitely more prominent.
And according to this findings, though, the most disturbing part is that the Google users are more, this is directly from their study, Google users are more likely to end their browsing session entirely after visiting a search page with an AI summary than on pages without a summary. This happened on 26% of pages with AI summary, compared to 16% of pages with traditional search results. So then again, this is going to be highly weighted with information and news sites being that highest that don't get a click. But it is doing what we said. Remember when they had SEO, a lot of SEO center for search labs, when they had this in the lab environment, not the general environment. And I remember, oh my gosh, some of those were 9,000 pixels tall, those AI overviews. But we told them that it would lead to just this kind of behavior. Now, Google's response to this is, as Sundar generally does, is that basically it's full of flaws and they don't know what they're talking about when he talks about this study. But we know in the search industry, from all the other people that have done research in the industry, that this is very accurate. You know, maybe the numbers are a little different here and there, but we're seeing and hearing the same things, aren't you, with the stuff you've read?
Well, yeah, pretty much. I'm looking at right now. I'm working with a very, very major publisher, and I'm seeing direct click or direct effect of the lowered click environment, because the answers to the reason that people were going to this publisher, answers are being given right there on the search result page. Heck, I am exhibiting the exact same behavior in my search activity now. I'm very interested in, say, Toronto Blue Jay scores. At one time, there was three or four different pieces of media I might have to click over to get the full box score, or to get an accounting of the game in progress, or the game that had just happened, the box scores. Now they're totally published on the SERPs, and in fact, I can get a play-by-play if I type the right query in. Right there on the search result page. So why am I going to be doing the extra click to go to that piece of media that newspaper, television station, maybe radio station or whatever that I used to go to, when Google's just giving me everything I was already looking for right there in front of me?
I think for me, when I do use the overview, unless I'm just trying to get somebody a screenshot of some, a factor of something, I find that I do click almost all the time. That's because the AI reviews, one, I don't know if they're correct, and two, I find that I need more information than they're offering. So I do usually click, although not always relevant, the one that they show in the citation, because people need to remember that they take a lot of documents and summarize them. So it may not be directly relevant what you're seeing in the search, but I find that I find I need that extra help. And I don't use AI overviews all that often, to be honest. But I'm just, by the way, so people know real quick, because I know there's this thing this morning in another place I was in the social world, that if you don't want the AI overviews, there's a real simple way to do that. Google has this navigation item called web, and on desktop it's under more, and on mobile you have to scroll to it on the navigation bar, but if you click that, the AI summaries go away, so you don't get them anymore. So I on desktop I don't have AI overviews unless I'm turning it on to test stuff, because it's just too much on my desktop. So but it's a real thing. Oh, go ahead.
But when you do click through the references in AI overviews, I'm finding that very frequently it's the exact same sources coming up, but just in different orders. I'm finding that the source depth for most AI overviews is only one or two cited pages, and they may be drawing information from a bunch of other things that they're not citing. I don't know, but
they have a lot more documents they bring back. They used to show us all of them for a brief period of time, and sometimes it'd be 50 to 100 documents or more than that. Now they just show just a couple.
You know, I've been noticing them sort of oscillating backwards and back and forth between number one and two position each time they click one of those little links and that pop off the side of each snippet in the overview.
Yeah, that would make sense, because they have other documents back there. They just don't show them all anymore, I think, for economy of space. So, but the AI overview issue is real, especially for publishers and informational sites. And my best recommendation to clients is that you need to create your visibility in other spaces. So there's a lot of really good articles on how to turn like one article into 10 pieces of content. So, you know, you make a YouTube video, you make a short, you take the short, you put it on TikTok, you take that short, put it on Instagram. You want to take your information and put it in other places with a click back to your site, so that you can get traffic from other spaces, because Google is probably going to become more aggressive with the AI overviews and AI mode in the near future. We don't know about the long future. So you're going to have to start making yourself visible in other spaces. Also Bing, you know, we know Bing converts better. It's much lower traffic, but it's good to make sure that you're doing well over there as well, because their AI stuff is not as imposing on the click. They kind of designed it so that you still can get a click.
Now, in this way, this is really, really, really reminding me of the early days of social media, where do you remember when you, for the days of social media, you do work on a piece, an article or something, and that was it, you published the article. But after social media was invented, you had to publish for every different social media that was out there. This reminds me a lot of that, except on steroids. So you have to do you had to do twice as much work before, now you got to do four times as much work.
Yeah. That's why I said the taking the one article and turning in like 10 pieces of content. If you get those strategies, those are really good, because you're not redoing the wheel for every different piece of social, every different platform. You're kind of just repurposing it.
Also, as you're creating content, think about logical progressions. This idea leads to this idea, leads to this idea. This question leads to this answer, which leads to this question, which leads to this answer. And start writing like that, so that basically you're aping somebody's conversation, a theoretical conversation that your potential client or the traffic you're trying to attract might be having with their pet chatbot.
Yeah, and also when you get in other spaces, and something else to be considering is Google has a special spot for hidden gem answers, which come from things like Quora, Reddit. So if you have spaces on there. Also, they have special places for videos, but your video has to have a watch page and it has to use the right structured data. So if your video is in a content area, they won't pick it up from there. You have to create another page for that video on its own. But that's a space that Google also carves out of the results and adds into there in that page when it shows it. It doesn't show it all the time. But those are spaces you can get into that will not be as affected by the AI overview.
Now, something Christine said a few minutes ago should be reiterated again. This has got to get branded back to your website, back to your core display space. And people are going to get real sneaky in how they phrase links in the near future. Like so a lot of posts on Reddit, you can't even place a link, right? But it's where you're going to be getting trapped, where you're going to be getting input to the LLM that should be driving traffic to you from.
Yeah, exactly.
So the sneakiness, you know, this is the SEO community. So people are going to get very creative with the way they sneak branding and links into every message from now on.
Yeah, and you definitely want your branding out there. Also, I haven't tried it yet, and I'm not saying you should do this, but link sellers, you might have a new purpose for your PBNs. Not that you'd use it for this, but for the large language models to get into there. Because you'd be mentioned on 70,000 new pages. That's just a thought. I haven't tested it yet.
By the way, I have a new acronym for all you folks. It's called PAT, Progressive Anchor Text. You can figure out the rest. Honest to goodness. Progressive Anchor Text, so you can sell the hell out of that.
I like that.
Okay, so what if you don't want LLMs crawling all over your website? What if they're, you know, sort of doing the equivalent of DDoSing you and you don't have Cloudflare to hide behind? One of the solutions that the SEO community is, you know, trying to come up with is LLMs text, sort of kind of along the conceptual line of robots text for LLMs. But as we know, LLMs aren't actually going and reading the header of the server of the website. They're reading the content on the website. So it's more like content on a web page that's giving instructions to LLMs.
Yeah, it's supposed to help the LLMs figure out the content.
Ostensibly give you control over what they're telling them what they should and shouldn't be reading. Here's the problem. No one's actually paying attention to them. At least no one says they're paying attention to them. But this being LLMs the Nadison AIs, things get pretty weird when they discover something that they don't fully grasp, but vaguely grasp and try to do. So as it turns out, OpenAI may be starting to discover and crawl LLMs.
Maybe.
Well, it certainly, if they're out there, it's certainly going to discover them and crawl them.
What
it does with that information is another question.
Nobody's supposedly using these, but a couple of people in the SEO industry discovered an OpenAI bot crawling them, but there was no verification done at the time because they were too busy to actually determine if they're real OpenAI bots. So the LLMs as text, you don't need to use. It's because it's not a thing that supposedly any of these engines use right now, any of these large language models. Also, Google has suggested putting a no index on it because it directs you towards certain content. And I'm not exactly sure why Google would see it as duplicate, but it could. So they said it's advisable, John Mueller did, to put a no index on the LLM itself.
Well, I could see it being confusing to Gemini. I don't know about duplicate content. I don't understand that. But let's just get all weird and theoretical here for a second, okay? The LLMs are designed to follow instruction. Can you, and I have no idea if this is possible, but we have quote-unquote evidence, and it does not surprise me. If it's a file on a server, of course the LLM is going to go and check out what's there. It's going to crawl it. Of course it will. Why not, right? Google would. Why not? So what does it do with it once it gets it, though? Is it being written? If I say the wrong thing with my...
Why not refers to...
There you go. See?
A helpful answer.
I said the wrong thing around my cell phone, and it just triggered off on itself. So what is the program?
Jim's phone goes off by itself. He hasn't figured out how to stop that.
Well, actually, I did that one on purpose.
I did that one on purpose.
Come on. The timing was perfect there, wasn't it?
It was.
So if that can happen, why can't, and that's just me talking. Honest to goodness, that was just me talking. Why can't I instruct an LLM in text and stuff that it gets off my server, how to treat information on my server?
maybe I have no idea if you can or can't, but theoretically, I mean, it's following text instruction, isn't it? Is there guardrails against that?
Well, I don't know. But apparently they're supposedly not reading it yet, but I don't know. I found an article today. It's not related to our grid, so don't feel you need to comment on it. Where they're using the DNS to hide large language model prompts to infect websites.
Good God. Yeah, okay, yeah, sure. I can see that.
Pretty brilliant, actually. Like when I go to DEF CON every year, oh, that's so bad. But it's pretty brilliant. So how much can I fault you? Yeah, so they're using the DNS to hide chunks of prompts to trigger large language models to do things. And it's a part of kind of malware, the escape detection. Yeah.
Okay, so I can have
You could give it text instructions, but the LLM itself is not something supposedly anyone's using. Though some people have seen some OpenAI bots, and Google says they'll never use it, they still say maybe no index it just in case.
Yeah, 100%. Google is not respecting your LLM's text file. You can write anything you want in there. Google, order me a pizza. No, don't. Really, Google, order me a pizza. Don't. And the LLM will not know what to do with that instruction. I can absolutely see though Gemini getting confused in the long run if it keeps getting the same instruction from the website over and over and over and over and over again and is trying to think of what am I supposed to do with this. Think is the wrong word. I hate using the word think in relation to LLMs, but it's parsing and trying to electronically understand what this is all about. I can see it actually following through on an order and Google not wanting that to happen at all.
No, that's true. Like I just said, you can put chunks of a prompt in a DNS and it will cause malware to happen with a large language model crawl. So.
Gentle people, start your engines.
Exactly. Oh, so while we're speaking of large language models.
Second biggest story of the, this would be my second big one. As it turns out, just keep doing what you're doing. Yep.
Yeah. There's been a lot of discussion in the industry. Although most of the people that have been around for a while have said this for a long time. I have said it for a long time. Even Greg Bozer came out of hiding and got on Twitter and put like a very long thread about this. But basically, Gary Ish at Google, what conference are they at? It was a Google conference, like one of the little conferences they put together. Anyways, he said today that Google says you don't need AEO or GEO, it's just SEO. So AI overviews use all the same functions that you use to rank a regular web page, same infrastructure. So AI search engine optimization equals SEO, and Google's focus is on content quality. Agnostic, it says it's agnostic to how it's created. I have seen serious damage, so I would not necessarily agree to that. AI, they didn't say that. This is a summary. AI is deeply embedded in every stage of search. Even goes back and mentions RankBrain, like we've talked about before. Fan out was in 2015 when they rolled out PAA, and entities have been around since Hummingbird in 2013. And most of this has been rolling into search for many years. So it says here the core message, this is from Suzuki. The core message is that new AI-powered features like AI Overviews and AI Mode are built on the same fundamental processes as traditional search. Utilize the same crawler, Googlebot, the same core index, and are influenced by the same ranking systems. They repeatedly emphasize this phrase, same as above, to the signal that separate, distinct strategy for AI SEO is unnecessary. The foundation of creating high-quality, helpful content remains the primary focus. So, and it's that AI has been embedded in every part of search starting years ago and continuing to today. So that kind of ends that argument, I think.
Well, it doesn't, it doesn't. So there are going to be new ways that we do things, new things that we pay attention to, new signals that we try to send to Google, new signals that we try to get from the Google and from generative engines. But the steps that we do on a website... Oh, and there's also going to be, I think there's also going to be a whole new philosophy on what a website is for.
These are all just different focuses. Like local's different than regular news is different. E-commerce is different. Now this will be different. It'll be the same ranking factors and the same infrastructure, just different focus.
Ultimately, we've always been information shepherds of one way or another.
Yes.
Our job is to get information from pasture to Penn, Penn being the user's computer screen. We've, you know, been doing that for 25, 30, in some cases, 35 years. I'm looking at you, Bruce, or Jill, or whomever. Like, so the people have been around for a very long time doing exactly this, moving information and helping information move, become more clear to move from A to B to Z to all the way down to Z. And I don't see anything different except for how we have to attract that traffic back to, or we have to find revenue models that are beneficial for our clients.
Yeah, I agree.
That's all going to change, but getting it there is fundamentally the same.
So if you're a business that's been holding off because you don't know if you need SEO or AEO or GEO, it's all SEO. Hire a good SEO, understands technical SEO as well, because part of the LLM is making sure your site is technically visible to your large language model, which is a little different than being technically visible to Google. So if you're following accessibility standards, you should be fine for both. Yeah. You should be following accessibility standards.
I'm wondering when SEO is going to start to bifurcate into silos again. Because, you know, technical SEO, get a good technical SEO on your side. Absolutely get a good technical. I'm thinking that the practice of content SEO is going to be changing radically. I mean, first off, you're probably not going to be making a lot of clicks, a lot of click revenue as a publisher. You still might be getting a lot of attention with your words as a publisher, but is your website getting that attention? So, I mean, what is considered SEO and the various things that we do, they are definitely going to change and be influenced by the new environment. But, you know, people are still searching for stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so more fun with stats. Stats are cool. I mean, Dave Davies used to love stories like this because throw a whole bunch of stats up against the wall and see what falls on your head first. So as it turns out, AI Overviews is in fact driving 10% more queries for Google. Good. More people are searching.
Yeah. Well, those queries are good at that. Depends. Like my searches have just been awful. So I don't know about other people. So
because more people are spending more time searching, Google's revenue. Search revenue grew 12% year over year. That's pretty, pretty spiffy. In fact, here's a stat for you. Google processes over 980 trillion tokens each month.
Insane.
That doesn't mean anything. What does that mean, though, exactly?
Like, that's tokens for large language models.
Well, indeed. What is a token in Google's view? How much energy does that expend? What does that mean exactly?
There's a bunch of Twitter yesterday about energy expenditures for the Anthropic put out a chart, and it's just insane how much power all these things use.
Okay, so Google, again, 10% more queries. Does that mean 10% more clicks to publishers? Absolutely not. I mean, in fact, the exact opposite is pretty true.
Because he found his thing, and this is in the DOJ report in 2018, when he ushered everything, he put Ragahavan in charge and all that stuff. Is that he said with more queries, they can drive more ads. And I'm sure, because if you're querying more, you might get tired and just freaking click an ad, right? So that's what he said. And so he wanted to degrade search at that time to make people query more to grow ad revenue. And he that's still, I'm sure, his philosophy. And I'm sure that's why AI Overviews give such a great answer, but I can't find anything in search anymore. I mean, Jim, I wish I could remember what I was searching for last night. It was so bad. Like, it just went from like something local I was searching for to like USDA regulations on something else. Like, it was bizarre how bad it was.
Well, how long did it take you to bounce to a different engine?
Not long. Actually, I've been using Bing more and more. And Bing has been making changes to its pages that while I was in the middle of changing them, I didn't love. But then when I do the story every week, I use Bing News because I can't get Google News stories. It just gives me Google News, right? So I use Bing News over there, and the layout's it's much better, and it's much friendlier to publishers because they're not trying to steal the click. They give you the story there, but then they give you like an AI summary on the right. So it doesn't take over the main part of the page, and it's just small. And you might want to read it, you might not, but it doesn't take over the page so much that you are drawn to using that. and not clicking. So I bet if you did a study between Bing and Google, the decrease in Bing would probably be much smaller.
Well, you know what? What's going to be interesting is it's only a matter of time till Comscore comes out with their quarterly reports on search engines. You know, I think it's nigh on time that we get to see who's competing against whom. And I expect to see Google lose another point. I don't know if we're going to see Microsoft gain that point or Bing gain that point. But yeah, I'm going to be quite interested to see what the next share of market breakdown is. Not so sure it's going to be great for Google, as exemplified by this next story. You know the great separation, right? The great divergence in Search Console.
Yeah. We call it decoupling. The decoupling.
That's right. The great decoupling. You have impressions that are actually, in many cases, improving dramatically, and you have clicks that, in many cases, most cases, in fact, are declining, sometimes dramatically. And you put the two of them together, you get click-through rates that are declining super rapidly.
Yeah.
Impressions going up, clicks going down, click-through rates are plummeting. So this is just an average of all different types of SERPs and all different types of sectors put together. But a new study from Growth SRC Media finds click-through rates in Google's top-ranking search results, number one position, have gone from declined from 28% to 19%.
Although interesting, in positions 6 through 10, it has gone up 30%. My guess is that they make it past the AI overview, they skip what's right below it, and they're hitting what's down the page. So of course that's not going to be 30% of the same traffic number one is. You're not regaining that traffic in position 6 through 10. But it is interesting to see that down the page. Remember when search number 11 on the second page was like higher than 6 through 10 on the main page?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
That sort of phenomena, for sure.
Yeah, and they are saying, like Press Gazette said, when they're number one in Google search, the CTR is about 13% on desktop. And 20% on mobile, their CTR is that low. So now,
if these numbers sound weird to the listening audience, remember, this is data that was accrued through Google Search Console. And Search Console measures positions in a really strange way. You can have two or three mentions in an AI overview, and that gives you like two or three number one positions in the same SERP.
Yeah, so then they average it together, and then it says something like 1.2 or 1.4. That's where those points come from.
Yeah. So when these numbers just seem off, and I'm looking at the study here, and the numbers don't seem right to me, then I remember, oh yeah, it's because they're looking at AI overviews where they have like three number one positions, and that all counts. How do you account for that in the study? I'm gonna have to actually look at the methodology to see if they did account for that. But it would make the numbers weird.
Yeah, but it is similar to other studies, just like the other one we just talked about. The drop is pretty significant.
Oh, unquestionably. Yeah. I mean, and you know what? All this is doing is confirming stuff that we're all seeing in our own client studies. I'm doing reports. It's heck, next week, yay, it's reporting season again. Guess what I'm going to be reporting on? I'm going to be reporting on loss on dropping click-through rates and explaining the zero-click environment. You know what? Three out of five websites I'm working with are definitely dealing with. One e-commerce site I'm dealing with is actually still seeing an increase in clicks, but I know that they're seeing less of an increase than they would be seeing if we were working in a different environment.
And for e-commerce, a lot of what's dealing the click is that top product grid, which has been given so much prominence. A lot of what people should understand here is when we talk about the difference like between Bing and Google, is the page design plays a huge part in these click issues. So like in Bing, the AI overview is off to the right and they create little summaries underneath something that has a link. So you're going to click on that because it's there with a link like normal. When they put these big AI overviews at the top, once you unfurl them, then you wind up with most of your screen is taken up by this overview. You may not even notice the other things below it. So they're definitely designing it to do that kind of click. Okay. And I had a point. Sorry, I just lost the first time ever on the show, I think, but I had a point to that. But I'm just saying the design does play a large part in how this works and how
Of course it does. I mean, the user's eyes have to go somewhere. Where the eyes go, the mouse follows, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Google links are going to stop working next month.
Yeah. So there was a guy from IEEE. I forget what the acronym stands for. It's an engineering group. It's very, very famous. It's been around forever. He was railing on Twitter today because it's going to break all these links that they have.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, oh my gosh, you're going to break. Oh my gosh. Like, why? But I don't know because I didn't see a story from Google. Like, I read Google's little brief thing, but are they going to redirect the links back to where they shorten them from? Because they have that information. You know, when you put your link in and you shorten it.
At this point, could you possibly, and given the limitations of character space in what was Twitter, then became X, and also at Blue Sky?
Yeah.
Although Google did shut down its URL shortener, you could not create new Google links since 2019. But there's all those ones that are out there before. And again, given the length restrictions on tweets at that time, it'll break. If they were to revert to the real URL structure, it would break a gajillion tweets.
Well, at least, I mean, like if the redirect goes from the GOOGL link to back to the other one. And by the way, right now they are returning 404 errors.
Well, there you go. So Google's going
to like break all these links to websites. Like, oh, check your link profile. People give a lot of these kind of links. You might lose some value.
Having read all the stuff on those pages, Google doesn't actually need them anymore.
Yeah. So we've got to get through this last bit pretty quick. We can get through it pretty quick, though, because we're getting some notes from Ricky. Real quick, by the way, people should know, by the way, there is a Google Trends API is launching soon. And you're not going to be able to get trending now, but you'll be able to get trending data. I'm sure a lot of our tools will probably show up with that in the near future. Guidelines for state-specific product pricing. Google has an explanation on Search Engine Journal on how you can handle those, because it doesn't handle them, but you handle them in your structured data, and they give the code base and how you do that in their developer documentation. Anything else there, Jim?
Nope, very good. Just definitely consult the developer docs when you have your LLMs writing the schema code for you.
Yes, definitely. Google's gonna launch an AI-powered virtual try-on. I worked on a site like 20 years ago that I wanted to do this with, the 3D rendering. Of course, the web was not capable of doing it back then. But they're going to let you take a picture of your shelf, try it on, and see how the clothes look on you. We'll see how
it works. So basically a virtual change room.
Yeah, basically. There's been some sites that use similar kind of concepts. We'll see if it works in Google Search well. But if it does, that'd be great, because I was looking at something yesterday, bathing suits, and I was like, oh, I don't know if they'll look right on me. So that would be pretty cool. That'd be awesome if they do it. And they're also setting smarter price alerts, so you can start checking prices on items, notify you when it's below a specific price or colors or sizes. And then there's going to be AI-powered style inspirations that you can also check out. So one thing for e-commerce people, make sure your product images are really good, you know, really high quality, and your competitive pricing matters, because they're going to track it for people and then optimize for visual search. Then our quick
login couple service. Of stories.
Yeah, we'll just get through these really fast. Someone was asking John about ranking their login page. They're still really, really hard to rank. Probably if you want a login page to rank, you really have to have some information on the page other than just this is our login. I don't know why people want
the login. Give them a big red button to click. Why would you make your login page rank? Like that makes no sense.
There's no information
on it. Why would you do that? It makes no sense. Give a big red button to click on any one of your given web pages.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But just, I actually de-index those because I don't want hackers.
Is a good use of robot text. Don't put the login page index.
Exactly.
Okay.
Google search results snippets with see more and other hyperlinks. So they're going to put underneath your Google search result. And the pills,
and it'll see more links, so something like accordion will come out or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's just to see more links on this topic. Google Search Console has a new logo. They love doing new logos lately.
They got me in the middle of it. Every morning I open up like 5 different search consoles, and Google got me in the middle of opening them, where some of them were new logos, some of them were old logos, and it took me a couple seconds to figure out what was going on. It was like last Friday. Confused the hell out of me.
It's a cute little logo. I guess they added a magnifying glass and a couple bar chart things in a rounded format. So Google AI mode button now on homepage search box. I don't know how many people go to the homepage.
But when you, do a search from google.com, there'll be a little AI mode. If you want to click your regular search magnifying glass or click AI mode, that gives you the choice.
The good thing, though, I remember a story a long time ago, and you were really sad about this. AI mode was going to replace I'm Feeling Lucky. I'm feeling lucky still there. It's good. Still there.
Well, I'm Feeling Lucky just brings up the number one search result, but still, I just like it. It's cute, you know?
It's part of Google history. AI mode is actually in the search bar next to the Google Lens or photo application. Then we have Google test links with site gray underlines. Bing.
Oh, this is a Bing.
I like to put a Bing thing in here just to remind people Bing exists.
Keep it blue, Bing. Keep it blue.
Yeah.
Don't get weird on us.
Yeah, light grays, not good. It's also not actually good to do for accessibility. So their accessibility people are probably throwing a fit. Just the last little thing, Google AI Overviews is going to start adding movie queries into the AI Overview. So they're going to show, it doesn't look.
I urge you to be very careful so you don't read the end of the movie in the AI Overview.
That's true.
Beware spoilers.
With the summary. Yeah, it's going to do a full AI overview on the movie. I don't know. I prefer the other one that they have because this is all text-based. The other one has images. I can see who the actors are and everything. So,
you know what?
But they're just going at it. Yeah.
I'm so old, I prefer the book.
Yeah. Well, the book, true. But, and it gets, it goes, it's, once you open it, it can scroll forever, it looks like. So, but so if you're excited about movies and AI overviews, I'll still probably go to just the regular photos that have a topper, IMDb. So, but that's it. We usually have an end story, but there was no end story today. So we are at the end.
Well, that was our end story.
Yeah. I couldn't find a fun end story today.
Well, I think that was a perfectly adequate one. I feel good about it. Again, I thought I even made a good joke at it. As opposed to the AI overview, I prefer the book. Okay. We've gone through it full circle. I know that we have another show coming up is in the studio. So on behalf of Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. Friends, you've been listening to Webcology recorded live to podcast on the 24th of July, 2025. By the time you're listening to this, summer will be even further over. So get out there and enjoy it while you can. Read everything you possibly can, especially stuff written by human authors. Rank well, be kind to each other, be patient with each other, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.